This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. Major combat operations in Iraq have been over for more than a month, but U.S. forces there still are coming under attack. This week alone, gunmen have ambushed a U.S. military convoy, opened fire on a checkpoint, and attacked U.S. forces at a police station. The attacks left four U.S. soldiers dead and more than a dozen wounded. U.S. commanders are trying to determine whether the incidents are isolated or an early sign of a serious armed resistance movement. NPR's Tom Jaltam reports.
The official line from the Pentagon is that security in Iraq is improving and that problems such as those seen in the last few days were to be expected. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, speaking yesterday at the Council on Foreign Relations, pointed out that many of Saddam Hussein's enforcers are still at large, along with thousands of common criminals who were released in the regime's final days. And then there were the Iraqi military units, only a few of whom surrendered to the U.S. Army and Marines.
We found that other units just took off their uniforms, left their equipment, and went into the countryside. So there are folks that are still out there who obviously do not wish the coalition forces well.
Senior defense officials say U.S. commanders are concerned the so far small-scale attacks on U.S. forces could grow. Judith Yaffe, an Iraq expert at the National Defense University, says much depends on which Iraqis are responsible for the attacks and what their motivation is.
If they're just cranky because they're out of work, that's one thing. But if there is a dedicated resentment or hatred of colonialism, occupation, the Americans, that's longer term.
There could be serious resistance, Yaffe says, from Iraqis who were tied to Saddam Hussein's regime and who now realize they have no future in their country.
They can't have jobs because they were Saddam Fedayeen or Special Republican Guard. That means you can't have a job in the new military, which is what you like to do, and the economy may not welcome you back, and you may be faced, even more to the point, with revenge killings. Then what is your future?
Armed resistance to the American-led occupation could also come from Iraqi Shiite groups who have their own political agenda for the country and don't want American forces to interfere. The Iraqi Shiites are ideologically linked to the Hezbollah group, which used guerrilla tactics against Israeli troops in southern Lebanon and ultimately drove them from the country. Kenneth Katzman, a Middle East specialist at the Congressional Research Service, can imagine some Shiites willing to consider a short-term alliance with die-hard Saddam loyalists, even though Saddam Hussein consistently brutalized the Shiite population in Iraq.
The Shiites feel very much oppressed and would not want to do anything that they believe could bring, possibly even bring anybody linked to Saddam back into power. But at a tactical level, you know, the interests seem to be in some ways matched. Both factions want to have an Iraq that's free of U.S. influence, which they believe would facilitate perhaps their coming to power.
In an effort to head off any organized resistance, the U.S. administrator in Iraq, Paul Bremer, has ordered that Iraqis hand over all large-caliber automatic weapons, rocket-propelled grenades, anti-tank weapons, and explosives, unless specifically authorized to carry the arms. Judith Yaffe wonders how effective Bremer's campaign will be.
Every Iraqi is armed. Saddam gave guns out to everybody, and they're cheap, available on the streets. Given the state of law and order, I think most people won't give up arms. But he doesn't want your everyday gun in the house. He's looking for your rockets, your grenades, your heavy weapons kind of thing.
Bremer's directive provides a 15-day amnesty period starting June 1st, during which time Iraqis can turn in their weapons without fear of prosecution. Kenneth Katzman says it will be at least that long before U.S. commanders determine whether they face a long-term security threat in the country.
It takes a few weeks or months for guerrillas or activists to learn about U.S. travel patterns on the roads, U.S. deployments, where the U.S. might be, let's say, vulnerable. And once these groups figure out those vulnerabilities, they do become active.
The latest attacks, Katzman says, may be an early indication of guerrilla activity in Iraq, or the violence may just go away. We'll just have to wait, he says, to see how it plays out. Tom Jaltam, NPR News, Washington.